Talking Moms Talking, just a couple of moms talking.
Welcome back to episode 3 of Moms Talking.
Yay!
Hi, everybody. How is everyone this week?
It's been an interesting week.
Exhausted.
Yeah. Worried.
I'm going to let everyone say hello so you can get used to their voices. I'm Patty.
I'm Andrea.
And I'm Jackie.
I'm Karen.
Karen! And we're very excited that Andrea is with us this week.
She's Yay!
She's a first-timer!
Not a first-time mom, but a first-time podcaster.
She's a virgin.
I'm a podcast virgin. Yeah. On two levels.
She's another mother of sons.
That's weird.
I know. We have
lots of boys in this group.
All boys.
Mothers of sons.
Karen has one daughter.
Gotcha.
So among all of us, we have one daughter.
Only one girl.
Yeah, we'll have to mix that
up. We have to work hard to protect her.
Yeah. We'll keep working on that. And like I always say, I'm raising my son to be a good feminist, so.
That's right.
That's important, too.
Responsibility.
Yeah.
The big responsibility.
Yeah. So, you guys, so much has happened, as usual, in 1 week. A new hurricane. So, we'll say first that all our thoughts are with everyone who is suffering through or recovering.
Riding it out.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yep. Our thoughts are with you.
Hit Florida this morning.
Yeah. And then they're still going through it and it's heading towards Georgia. So, they still need our help. Pay attention. Do what you can.
And last week we talked about donating through moveon.org.
Yes.
Because they were vetted. So that'd be good if you could... If you're looking for a place to donate, that's the place to go through.
Yeah, they did. I haven't looked this week, but I imagine they'll do the same thing for Irma that they did for Harvey, which was you could donate to them directly, and then they would spread the money out among local
organizations. I was going to say, that's what I heard. Go local, because once the cameras are gone, they're still there.
Yeah.
And so it's really important to send money to the local
guys.
For a
long time.
They'll be there supporting it for a while, months to come.
Yeah. There's so many different levels. I was listening to one person who was talking about another natural disaster where she was giving to pet organizations, because you don't even think about how many animals get... there's so many different groups that are going to need help. So hopefully we don't just forget about this, because our mom, Karen, was saying to me today that she knows Trump is just itching to get back in the headlines. So hopefully he's not going to start dominating the news again.
He doesn't want to step over for Irma.
Right. He's unhappy that Irma's taking up all the news headlines.
She's getting bigger crowds.
Yeah. Yes.
I was trying to do a little research on a topic, and I couldn't find too much, but he, was going to cancel the federal flood insurance, and he extended it for this month because guess what got hit by the hurricane? He wanted to, be sure that he has federal flood insurance for Mar-a-Lago, and he was going to cancel that program. But since the hurricane came, he decided to extend it so that he would be covered.
He is such a humanitarian.
He did it just for all the people.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be really interesting to see how this impacts politicians going forward, too, and if they restructure their agenda in any way to try and, help out people. Instead of making tax breaks for rich people their priority, hopefully they're going to look at disaster relief. But,
it's probably going to depend on who it will help.
Yeah. That's true.
Which states will that help? Because that has probably a lot to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, some have already shifted with Texas. People who didn't vote to give money to when Hurricane Sandy or Sandy Storm was there now have voted for it now that it's Texas or their state. So.
Right. Yeah, they are politicians after all. Well, so on this show, in case you haven't guessed yet, we're a group of left-leaning, left-coast, suburban moms.
White
moms. trying to learn what we can in order to be better members of the resistance and support other groups who've been at this a lot longer than we have. Mm-hmm. But we're all activated and we're trying to make our contribution. And one of the ways we can do that is to get educated. So we found that, like, if we can get together each week and share information with each other, that hopefully that will help other people. And we have
By no means are we experts. Let's
no.
Well, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I am.
Well, there will be some topics we're going to touch on that everybody has a little expertise in, especially since I'm in a room full of educators here. So we're kind of itching to get to some of these Betsy DeVos topics.
Uh-oh.
I know. Yeah. And if you found the podcast, then you probably know that we have a website where we post our podcast called MomsTalkingPodcast.com. We also have a Facebook community, Moms Talking Podcast Community on Facebook. And I think Karen's going to get an Instagram account going.
Yeah,
we'll probably have a Twitter feed up soon, too. But for all the information that we reference that we collect during the week when we're thinking about what we're going to say on Sunday, we'll try to put links up on Facebook so we can all share information, and hopefully people will share information with us.
And I have to clarify something I said. I said white women, and the reason I said that is because I think sometimes we're just misrepresented. Mm-hmm. But I was reading some articles, and it says 53% of white women voted for Trump.
Right.
Well, I just want to make sure that, you know, the focus on us is the other, you know, whatever percentage it was that did not.
We're the 47%.
We're the 47%.
Right.
But But one of the things we're going to talk more about, I think, because it's becoming more part of the dialogue, is what it means to be a white person in this country and the legacy that we've inherited, and how we there's a special responsibility that comes along with that. Even if you did not vote for Trump, there's still there's still things that we need to be awake to and aware of. So hey, we've been so serious this week, guys.
Why do we have 24 likes on our Facebook page?
Wow.
24?
I sent that to half of my list. I'll send it to the other half, then you get more likes. Send it to our friends.
Yes.
Less than a week.
That's pretty good in less than a week.
I actually didn't send it to all my friends because not everybody's a raging liberal.
Yeah.
Well, like we said, we hope that moms who listen and moms who are engaging with the Facebook page will tell other moms, because we do want to have a community of people talking to each other and helping each other learn. On this show, we have a loose structure, but the basic idea is that we each come up with a yes and a no, and we share it with the group, and it can be political. It doesn't have to be, because basically we're moms who are sharing information that's important to other moms, and then we discuss. So, Andi, you're new. We're not going to make you go first.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So, Karen, do you want to go first? You said you've got your yes and your no in the hopper, ready to roll.
Yeah, I'm going to do my yes first.
Okay.
Okay.
Hit us with a yes, baby.
This is a yes. So I actually had to look up positive news that happened this week because
it's such a... Wait, I did that too.
It was such a tough week, but I found one that talked about, this is September 8th, female, male, or X. Canada becomes the 10th country to announce gender-neutral passports. And Canadians can now identify as gender neutral on passports after a third gender X option was introduced to the application process on August 31st. And I think that's pretty darn cool.
Yeah.
Gonna not see this happening in America for a while, but the other countries, Canada joins 9 other countries in providing a gender neutral option on passports. Australia, Denmark, Germany, which now, come on, America, Malta, New Zealand, and Pakistan have
Pakistan?
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. That makes me feel good. That is a good one.
Yeah.
India, Ireland, and Nepal provide various third options. Canada becomes the first country in the Americas to make the change, although in June, Oregon became the first U.S. state to offer an X option on official identification. So go Oregon.
Yeah.
That was pretty impressive. So that made me smile. So
yeah, that's hopeful. And, you know, even though, like you said, it'll be a long time before I think some of this becomes law in this state, in this country, we still have come so far in understanding gender. I mean, when you think about when we were kids, would any of you, did you even understand what a transgender person was?
No, did not come up.
No.
Back then. Where I lived in white suburbia.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, just the fact that...
But this isn't a new concept, so obviously it was all around. That just shows you it had to be hidden.
They had to hide, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. There.
I think it's all... I mean, in ancient Rome, it was... It existed, right? We just...
Right.
In our country, we just didn't talk about it.
So. And I think being educators, it's, you know, it's so critical for kids to have an identity, you know what I mean, that they can hold on to and grasp and that's supported. Whatever your personal views are, can't somebody just be who they want to be? I mean, how does that offend you?
It's so much healthier for kids to feel like they don't have to hide who they are, or even if they're just trying to work it out, if they can talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a yay.
That's a yay.
That is a yay. Yes.
Do you have a nay?
Yeah, okay. So being a mom, of course, I'm on duty with basketball tournaments, and I took my daughter to do a childhood cancer walk today, so we had a busy weekend. But yesterday, I took my boys to – they play on a travel basketball team, and there are girls and boys. So on the team, they played against a team that was just boys. Now, the best girl on my son, the best player on my son's team is a girl. And I mean, she's not just good, she's incredible.
Wow.
Like, she's just a little star. She's pushing through, doing jump. I don't know the technicalities of basketball, so.
We're not using the terms. She's kicking field goals and batting home runs.
Hot potato with the ball.
She is so tough. So I'm sitting
Karen,
there. And
how old are these kids?
So she's probably about 13.
Okay.
It's like, you know, an age group. Yeah, my son said 13. He just threw the door. He just
killed our statistician in the background.
13, okay.
Yeah. So two seats down from me, while I'm just watching this girl, I'm thinking, okay, you know, I grew up in the 1970s. We weren't allowed to do that. You know, we didn't play, first of all, that way. And number two, we weren't allowed to play with boys.
Title IX, baby.
Yeah, I was just like, look at this girl. She's awesome. And she just took no crap from anybody. She was just tough. And I was just thinking, this is really neat. Two seats down from me are the men from this other team. And they were, my mouth was open. They were telling their sons to target her. And they weren't just saying it like she's another player. You know, they were saying, get her. Get her. Go after her. Don't let her do that to you. Don't let her, you know, make a on you. Don't let her push, you know. I mean, they were just so, you know, they were so focused on her. Well, there were other players that, you know, were doing the same thing, but they couldn't stand that their sons were being outdone by this girl.
Right.
And she was just getting beat up out there. They were tripping her and pushing her. And I mean, this girl has guts. She was, you know, giving it back to them too. But she has, you know, just watching that in 2017, thinking she's fighting 10 times as hard as the other kids on that team.
Mm-hmm.
And here's these adult men, 30s, you know, screaming at their young men, just pushing that whole agenda, you know, get her. Don't let her do that to you. You know, they weren't saying that when their boys, the boys took a shot on them or the boys. You know, it was all about this girl getting, you know, getting a shot off them. Or
they were offended by her gender.
Oh, my gosh.
That she was embarrassing the boys.
She shouldn't be out there. I'm sure that's what they were thinking.
Right.
I almost called him an umpire, but the ref turned to the guys at one point. And he's like, you know, we're all here to cheer for our teams. You guys might want to lay off her a little bit.
Thank goodness.
I mean, they were so, that's the part that just amazed me, is that they couldn't stand that she was getting one off on their boys.
Their fragile male egos.
Yep. And I just thought, you know, what does that tell their sons, that this girl's out here doing this, instead of, you know, just making it, you know, she was better than they were. Equal playing field, they couldn't support the team. It was all about, don't let her get you. Yeah,
that's a no.
Oh, boo. My gosh.
That is a boo hiss.
Yeah, my whole neck was red, you know, when I got it.
Did you say something?
Oh, my gosh. It took every ounce that I had not to, because I, you know, I don't want to do that in front of my sons, because they'll be like, let's put my mom over there. But I did talk to her mom afterwards, and I told her mom, I said, you know, she's a little hero. I mean, if I wouldn't have been, so I would have loved to have been her 30 years ago, and I couldn't. And now look at her.
Yeah. So
that was kind of a yes and a no, but that was really, I mean, it just had me fuming afterwards, so.
Is she playing on the boys' team because there is no girls' team, or?
A travel team, so it's not like it's boys or girls. Anybody mm-hmm. could be on the team, but, you know, they don't have a specific girls travel team.
It's
or
not
boys
gender
travel
specific,
team.
Yeah. Which and is it great. Sounds like, yeah.
Yeah, and my sons love it. They're like, yeah, she's by far the best player on the team.
Yeah, you know? So why not have her on the team, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, and when she's out, because these guys, they're tripping her. She's knocking her head on the floor.
Oh my
she's
gosh.
Pushed. She's playing through it, but she had to sit out for a little bit because they tripped her and she knocked her head. And they're like, you know, oh my gosh, if she's down, we're going to lose, you know?
All right. She's our official hero
of the
week.
Yeah.
She's a tough little woman. I was really proud of her out there. So anyway, that's my yes and my no.
Well, that's probably a good time for us to mention that, you know, Betsy DeVos mentioned this week that she wants to roll back some of the protections of Title IX.
Yes.
It has not happened, and we'll see how it unravels, but a lot of universities have spoken up about this. Her main issue is that she claims that too many men are being wrongly accused of sexual assault, and that she says the system is broken. What's broken is that the guidelines are not being appropriately enforced. And so if read some of the specific stories that she cites, those stories do not exemplify a broken system at all. There's one case she cites where this USC athlete was expelled because his girlfriend said she had assaulted her. And she later recanted her story. And so Betsy used that as an example of a broken system. Well, everyone knows that victims frequently recant their stories, especially if they've been suffering a pattern of abuse. It's not uncommon. So that just shows, again, her ignorance on the topics, which she is supposed to be overseeing. But Karen, your story made me think. I was thinking today about Title IX and how it gives hope to a lot of children who may not be scholars, but they're great athletes, and especially young women. And it's given them an opportunity to go to college and excel and have teams that are equally financed and give them an equal opportunity. You know, sometimes to even develop a career in athletics, you know.
And that trickles down to high school.
Yeah.
High schools have to be in compliance with all that.
Right. It's just another thing that gives young women hope that Betsy DeVos wants to erase because for some reason she feels that she should be representing the goals of all white men instead of all people that she's responsible for.
Right.
So, I know that there was another thing we wanted to talk about Dear Betsy is involved in. That's a hashtag that's been trending. Did you know people are
Dear Betsy.
Hashtag Dear Betsy, and then they're telling their stories as victims of assault or when it comes to education issues in general. The other one is hashtag Stop Betsy, which I'm behind 100%.
Well, he fires everybody. There's hope.
There's good chance she could get fired.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, I think she's so dangerous, though, because she hides behind this image of a nice church lady, you know. Mm-hmm. I am a Christian, and I like to help people. But We can go. I posted
this. Can go in every direction.
There's so much to say about Betsy DeVos, but there's a story that This American Life did about when she mentored some children in a in a school district. Some needy young girls, and she mentored them through elementary school, and then took them out and put them in private Christian schools.
Oh, be darned!
Yeah, and then one of the girls, she gave her mom a job as a domestic in her household, and then told the mom that
dear lady.
Yes, then she told the mom that your daughter needs to go to a Christian school. Well, what's the mom going to say, even though the daughter didn't want to go? Then when this girl is now in high school, Betsy has given her a summer job. Guess what her summer job is?
Cleaning her house.
Oh my goodness. Now, if you're mentoring a child.
Well, she's got to do it that way because she can't have the DACA dreamers cleaning her house.
She can't have the dreamers
cleaning. So she's got to go out this way, right?
I think that Betsy's master plan is to create a Christian servant class.
I think that would kind of
and then we can pay for that with our school vouchers and take all the money out of public schools.
That will be grateful to her and will. Yep. And apparently she has this house full of knickknacks, and this young woman and another friend of hers from high school that are hired to clean, they have to put the knickknacks all back in the same place.
Oh my goodness.
So this is how she's
like Handmaid's Tale.
This is her mentorship. Yeah. You can aspire to clean my house. Wouldn't you, if you had a girl you'd been mentoring who had reached high school age, wouldn't you want to like introduce her to something
if you're
in
a
your
government
business,
employee, or, yes. And you are like the Secretary of State, yes. Wouldn't you round them up to be, you know, in politics
show them
or in women can be leaders
that
look
they
at
can
me.
Aspire to?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Other than cleaning your house,
that's ridiculous. Yes. There's so many good summer programs for young women that she could, but that's the thing, she's mentoring her into her place.
That's it, exactly.
Ooh, that's a good way to put it.
That's it, exactly,
KJ. This is where you belong, and I will show you where you belong.
Yes. Hashtag stop Betsy.
Absolutely.
Jackie, did you have some information on vouchers, speaking about Betsy?
I did. I found a great article about NPR that's kind of like a vouchers 101, so we'll post that up on the page, and cool. So people can look at it, but... Yeah, I wanted to make sure I had all my facts straight before I got all angry and upset about it. Just what happens when I think about it. Yeah, so it's
okay.
Frightening.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of it, most of it is just because it's like our founding fathers wanted, you know, people to be educated so they could be for the common good. And I just don't know where that whole idea has come from. You know, in the 1800s, education was the way to become successful and add to our country. And now all of a sudden, you know, they want to give private people decide to go to private schools vouchers. I know the point was to give, you know, inner city kids money to put toward a private school. However, it doesn't cover the cost.
But that assumes that private schools are better, and that hasn't proven to be the case.
No, absolutely not. The research says that marginally, maybe a little bit better, but not really. And so, but whatever, regardless, we just keep taking money out of public education instead of adding to it. So.
Yeah. Well, they're saying like in Michigan, where Betsy DeVos and her husband have had a big impact on education, and they've put a lot of, they've advocated for choice, quote unquote, and they've also put a lot of money into these Christian schools. They said that Michigan fourth graders ranked 28th in the country in reading a decade ago. They've fallen to 41st.
Yeah.
And then they said...
This includes the private school kids? The voucher kids?
This is statewide.
This is a statewide.
Yeah, and then for all the promises about charter school performance, 3/4 of all Michigan charter schools are in the bottom half of all schools, as measured by standardized tests. Public school funding, the money actual available for schools to use, has declined, and segregation has increased.
Yes, at least in Michigan, they're tested. In California, there's absolutely no system of accountability at all.
Wow. And they're still finding, even with no system, they have people looking into the charter schools in California. They're finding some of them, many of them, more than not, misrun, misappropriated of funds. So it's a more
make a huge
quick
profit,
fix.
Rent from themselves.
It's cash in the pocket. Shuffling people to an elitism is the very best if you're going to give a good education.
Right.
It's all under a misnomer. versus dumping all that money into schools and raising the bar for everyone.
Right.
Equality for everyone, equal access for everyone.
Right.
So when you pull, even if in their theory was correct, if you're going to pull kids whose families are shopping schools who are looking for a choice out of those inner city schools,
right,
it becomes a drain and there's nothing left.
Right.
Then everyone else there goes low. And it's like, oh, see, they weren't running it right. No, you just took all our resources. Right.
With no accountability.
Yeah.
And then they send them back if they don't fit in to the mold.
Right.
Yeah.
Back a lot to of issues the, with that.
But there's some legislation right now. So that maybe
coming
will
down
change.
The pipeline.
Yeah. So that might change.
Okay. Well, then we're counting on you to keep us posted.
Yeah. I will do it.
Legislation to stop the voucher programs?
No. So there's three bills, and one is to add accountability so that they have to show growth. One is to stop cherry picking. Of course, they don't say that in the bill.
Yeah,
but
that's,
I can't remember what the third one is. But
you can't turn people away then, basically.
Yeah, you can't. And you have to take everyone who applies, but.
Yeah. Right.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's definitely situations where kids might need some sort of a special instruction.
Yes. But why not, you know, turn our public schools into those places?
Right. Make it available to everyone and still make sure that the funds that are needed are going to the neediest kids.
Absolutely.
I mean, this idea that you take a few exceptional children out of the worst schools and you put them somewhere else and you take the funding that was meant to go to their district along with them and you leave these kids who are struggling, who, by the way, they might be the worst students through no fault of their own. You know, they're in the worst schools.
Well, let's talk about
they
poverty,
have
though,
the least amount of resources.
Absolutely.
They're coming to school sometimes without having eaten breakfast. They're not getting a good lunch. You know what I mean? There's so many. They don't have a parent who can sit down and do homework with them every day.
Because they're working three jobs
so let's
make
ends
meet.
Let's make sure they get fewer resources.
That's crazy.
Well, that's what will happen in California with all the Title I money. It'll go toward, you know, the... It's not. I hope it doesn't pass. I have a yes.
Yay. Give us a yes.
Can
Yay.
I have it? It's funny.
Yes.
You're going to have to go onto our page and look at it. But, you know, Vicente Fox, the former president, he hates
the former
Trump.
President of Mexico, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
of Mexico.
The former U.S. president. I miss
so. Well, the funny thing is he's got this really cute commercial about why he should be the U.S. president.
Awesome.
And it's hilarious. And there's some swearing, so... I won't do it here, but anyway, check that out. It's really funny.
He's totally trolling Trump.
Oh,
it's
he is.
So funny.
Yeah.
He can funny. Now. I love it.
I guess because he's retired now.
Yeah,
so
he's got
time.
The luxury.
That makes me feel better a little.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. If you need a laugh. Okay, so you're going to put that on.
I'm going to put the link on.
Okay.
Yes,
this will, if you need a laugh, Mr. Fox is ready to give it to you.
My son just brought me a glass of
wine.
Wow. Woo. That's a yes.
Mom's talking. You could be mom slurry.
That boy knows how to treat women.
Yeah. Karen, what have you trained your children to do over there?
My God, when I was like up, I couldn't walk for 3 months. And I said, honey, get me a glass of water. He's like, Mom. Like, what did you do differently? I have one.
You were supposed to ask for wine.
You were in a
wine.
Guest.
You had to ask for wine.
It was what I was asking for.
Yeah.
Okay.
He can't be bothered with water, but if you ask for wine, then you never know.
You know what? He has redeemed himself. Since
yes.
Then.
Oh, he's a good boy. Yeah. All right, Andy, are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
I like to start with the low and end on highs. Woo-hoo. That's my... my way of doing it. My low's like kind of an old low, but an ongoing behind the scenes. I feel like it's a big magic show and watch the hand over here and you don't see what goes through over here.
Yeah.
Watch the hand over here and we got something else through. So the whole Trump wanting to bring this up before it's supposed to come up in April of reversing or lowering standards for fuel efficiency for automobiles. So Obama put into place, you know, by 2025, we'd get all the way from the 20s where we were in the beginning of 2000s up to 49 miles per hour. That's a target. So, you know, as all this stuff is happening and I'm in education and we're in the schools and I see all these standards being increased for my kindergartners and I look around and I'm like, okay, the behavior standards for people in colleges for sexual harassment are now trying to lower the bar. Now the standards for fuel economy efficiency, we're making all this progress. How great it was to tell our children and our grandchildren that wow, you know, yes, there were some mistakes made with fuel. We learned about all the side effects of fuel and carbon being released into the air. So we started making change. We started doing something and then have to say, we decided that's not, you know, not convenient. We're going to go backwards. We'd rather let those oil guys make some more money. Like everything you know about gas and oil and carbon efficiency is... it's doable. The engineering is there. It's all like easy to do now. Mm-hmm. They got the people. It's generating new jobs to do it.
Right.
The automakers are saying, our sales will go down. It'll be devastating to the auto industry, which does appeal to that second class, the lower class.
Right. The working
right. class blue-collar. Trying, you know, if the automobile industry, then that's all those jobs. And those are like my kind of jobs.
Yeah, but it's not true. Those jobs are already gone.
But they're wrong. The sales of cars have gone up in the last seven years. Simultaneously as fuel efficiency is getting better and better. Even though the prices of the cars have gone up. Sales have gone up in 7 years straight. And last year, 2016, was the highest sales in cars ever. Mm. So just, it's a misconception that they put out there.
Right.
So that they get them in their camp and think that, like, let's not put any effort or energy or vote in that area so that we'll have jobs, but it doesn't create jobs.
And hey, the planet.
Yeah. Do you need any more evidence than this week? And that's the other part of the magic show. Yeah. Does the universe have to slap us in the face repeatedly for us to see that there's an effect?
I mean, I'm not a religious person, but I really feel like there's some force out there that was like, wake up, people. And it's like, seriously, like slapping us with hurricanes and earthquakes and heat waves.
But the people in power are the, you know, it's... The climate change is really not scientifically
It's a hoax, Jackie.
Oh, my gosh. But even if you take that out of it, the dependency on oil. And, you know, it's just like there's the gains are so much lower now than the cost of being on oil. And we all know that. We're aware of that. And it just is such a blatant money in the pocket thing again.
Well, I think
coal. We're bringing back coal.
I'm a coal miner's daughter. My grandfather ran a coal mine. All my people worked in a coal mine all my life. Wow. I was bred on coal, and I think it's stupid to go backwards to coal when we've made such progress. We're moving forward. And that's not the jobs.
Yeah. All those jobs are not coming back.
They are not coming back. And I resent even just dangling that carrot out there. Yeah. Like, what a mean tease to those people, too. Like, that's all you know, so I'll tell you what's going to come back.
Even solar is picking up steam slowly but surely, but they're saying the solar market is growing.
There's so many jobs to be had in that. And then build that factory who's going to crank out solar panels in Youngstown.
Right.
That's all you had to say. I will bring you jobs. There's all this progress going forward. All I got to do is put the factory there. Done.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So that's your nay.
That's my nay, wasn't it? And my yay, again, all my stuff. I am a working mom, and I barely get to the news. So that's why I so appreciate
You're doing very
this.
Well.
This is why I appreciate the show. I'm doing well, but I'm usually a week behind. So I so appreciate hearing all these nuggets, just getting the dialogue, get going and hearing these. Yeah. But this was just 600 more. I'm sure there's many more now, but over 600 companies speaking out against DACA, against repealing DACA. So I love hearing those voices because they're all like high tech. Again, it's progress. It's all the progress. You know, they're making tons of money. They're very good at what they do. They're very financially lucrative. Many of them have not even gone bankrupt five or six times in their, do you know what I mean?
Who are you talking about?
so they obviously know how to do good business. And for them to write letter after letter, like over 600 of these letters of saying, you know, diversity feeds the resource well. Diversity feeds innovation, which creates jobs. You know, that is just so, not to mention the impact of once you pull people out of their seats, what it's going to have. And here's what I've never heard anyone mention this, but as a teacher in a little elementary school, my campus is next door to a campus that has a high Spanish language population.
Mm-hmm.
Just even Run 45 got elected. The fear amongst not the kids who are going to get deported when that all came out.
Yeah.
Their friends sitting in the seats. And what goes through a child's body of, I come in tomorrow and that kid's missing from his seat.
Yeah. Or how
they're
about
all
my
living
teacher?
In a fear.
How about my teacher?
My nurse, my school nurse. There's so many school nurses.
Yeah.
So it's like all of a sudden just shifting. I just felt like all this progress and we're going in the right direction with fuel and with diversity and right. global interdependence. And to, I just feel like, wow, just lifted up and thrown backwards by right. two yep. decades so fast.
Yep. Right. Well, and the interesting thing about DACA is obviously it's targeted at Latinos, right? But all DACA, all people who are Dreamers are not Hispanic.
Right.
They
right.
come from right. all over the world.
Yeah. Right. One of the 600 letters is the Uber CTO, who's Vietnamese. And in his letter, he describes his whole journey. I mean, it was, you know, kind of the classic what you do picture. On yeah. the boat, going from Vietnam, weathering storms, getting yeah. through pirates and getting robbed, coming here, making the American dream. Look how many people benefit of all echelons in life for Uber. We're right. all taking Uber.
Yeah.
We're all using Uber and Lyft and that kind of, you know, innovative thinking. And that's what he was. Yeah. He's like, I was a dreamer. And if you limit all the dreamers, a lot of the dreams that come to fruition here will also be limited. Like, we just right. put a ceiling on
we
ourselves.
We limit ourselves. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's just sad.
You know, that's threatening to 45's base.
To his base, yeah.
Well, they're not out there shoving. What do they care?
Yeah. Another interesting thing I heard was that, you know, a quarter of the Dreamers are also parents. So yeah. you're not only threatening to rip children away from their parents, you're threatening to rip parents away from their children.
Absolutely. When on Game of Thrones, Littlefinger says to Ariel, he says, imagine what your opponent's worst motivation could be.
Yeah,
and when the repeal of DACA came out, this is terrible to say, but my thought was, it's to get at those parents. He's punishing the parents
yep.
for
yep.
bringing them over. And
right.
that is using children yep. to rip that apart, to punish them, to make anyone else fearful of possibly
right.
doing that.
But another point that's being made in the conversation is the parents aren't really guilty of anything other than wanting to be Americans.
Right.
I mean, all of us are the children of immigrants.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
And some of them came here with papers and some of them didn't. But that's how America was formed. And we've all profited, we've all benefited from this labor force, a lot of them having to work under the table.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is a reason that some people wanted to keep these people, you know, quote unquote, illegal and not let them get a Social Security number, because then they're at the mercy of, you know, lower wages, lower benefits, all of that.
And then we don't have to pay $8 for grapes.
Right.
Either.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That'll be a big
we've
deal.
We've all benefited from this, and it's really all of us bear the guilt of not giving these people a path to citizenship sooner. So to say, you know, when we say the Dreamers are here through no fault of their own, then that's implying that their parents did something wrong. And really, we need to all share the guilt in that. If we don't want to send the Dreamers away, we also have to recognize that we've been victimizing their parents by not letting them come out of the shadows.
Yeah, well, that's
as well.
That's why, you know, the dialogue we all hope is a path, a quick,
yeah.
affordable, accessible path to citizenship. And the ones that are in the schools and the ones that are in these jobs and nursing and all these things right now, they're paying taxes.
Yeah.
They're paying into Social Security.
Right.
There's tons of published numbers that are huge, billions of dollars that they are putting into our system, besides their human resource and talent
right.
of what they're getting trained to do.
And they don't get it back.
And right. no records.
Yeah,
none
so why isn't
criminals?
Yeah, why no. isn't this the why okay. is the emphasis even on this and not about vetting the criminals? Why isn't all about
Why are we talking?
Right, yeah. Why isn't the dialogue, oh, I went and got all these gangs and I found them and those are the guys I deported.
Right.
Why, you're really going into the colleges and ripping them out of their seat?
Yeah.
I mean,
well, there's some bad hombres
yeah.
in the colleges.
Yeah.
Not that I've ever met.
That's what he said.
All of those high school graduates, whoo, they're the worst.
Oh, my
Let's get
goodness.
Rid of them. Yes.
All those
well,
teachers. Get them out of the classroom, those darn teachers.
Well, that brings me to my yes.
Yay. We need
Are
a
you,
yes.
Did, am I in
yeah,
a,
no, no, we need
good?
A yes. I need
I
a
think
yes.
We've had our DACA rant for sure.
Except
have
I do want to say Betsy is not given an opinion, and she needs to.
Oh,
I mean,
this.
It's
yeah.
about children, and it's about schools,
yeah.
K to higher ed.
Yeah.
She probably doesn't understand
Secretary
what
of State,
DACA
you
yeah.
have to give an opinion. And she's like, oh, let Congress do that.
She,
this is your
you
job.
Know what? She has cleaning jobs for all of them. She's got a lot of properties.
possibly some pool cleaning.
Pool cleaning.
Oh, right. She will not step up. So this is why the little girl who plays basketball on that team
yeah.
and plows through all that stands up for her voice. But Betsy in the right seat at the right time can't can't even say what her opinion is.
No.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Right. I need a high. What's your high?
Oh, okay. So I actually have two yeses. Yay. This week, woo! Guys. How often does that happen? But I feel like we're reaching this turning point where, like, I always said that, and I'm not the only one who said this, but I really believe that Trump has kind of brought all of the cockroaches out of the corners.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Good, like, way to say it.
Our house has been infested for a long time, but it's not until you have a fire or you elect a Trump, a chump, as I like to call him, that the critters come out of the dark. And,
right.
And it's good because it's forcing us to have a lot of conversations that are really uncomfortable, but that we need to have. And one of these key conversations is about race and racism. And obviously DACA, you know, has brought that to the forefront. Charlottesville has brought that to the forefront. And this past week, a lot of people are talking about this article that was written by Ta-Nehisi Coates. He is an essayist who has been, he's been writing for a while, but he wrote this amazing essay called The First White President. Mm-hmm. And I put the link on our Facebook page, but I everyone needs to read this. I read it and I can't stop thinking about it. And it's like he took all these pieces, you know, Charlottesville, racism, misogyny, Civil War monuments, Title IX. He puts them all together and he goes, you know, he all the way back to before the Civil War and talks, puts it in a historical context. And you really see how the Trump presidency is about erasing Obama's presidency, that he took offense at a black man being his president.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why so many of his actions seem unreasonable, because right. It's not about governing. It's about the affront of a black man being his president. And then Hillary really paid the price for that, because a woman now governing us on the heels of a black man governing us was just
too much for them to take.
Too much for them to bear. Trump and his followers to take. And he also makes a really strong case for, you know, it's been popular to say, and many white intellectuals have said, that Trump won because of the plight of blue-collar white workers in this country, and that they've suffered so much. But the truth is, you know, Trump didn't offer them anything. I mean, they actually knew their jobs weren't coming back. What he offered was he allowed them to plug in to their anger and their racism, right? And to point the finger at someone else for their own circumstances. And it's not that this is something new. This is something that Coates puts this in historical context, that this has gone out throughout history. Misogyny goes hand in hand with this. And I think it's just such an important article, and it's a really important conversation for us to start having, that this is a racist president, and that nothing that he does makes sense unless you look at it in the context of racism and this white supremacist patriarchy, which Betsy DeVos is reinforcing. And some of her when I read this article, I was like, she wasn't even mentioned in the article, but some of the things that she's doing start to make sense in that context, where we're going to patronize people who are in poverty, we're going to patronize people of color, but we might help them out, we might be charitable, but we don't want to lift them up.
No,
we
want to keep them down. The top of the to-do list is, like, Betsy didn't come in and say, oh, here's a better due process system for this, so that both sides are
right.
heard. And she came in, and it's to undo what Obama did. And same with the health care and the tax reform.
Every single thing that he talks about.
In with, here's my plan, and why this, you know, now this is why my plan is way better than that plan.
No.
It's only about the undoing, even with no plans in hand
right.
for all of them.
Erasing
so it's a clear and obvious, it's an obvious, an obvious undoing of Obama that's
right.
running that agenda.
Right. And what Ta-Nehisi Coates talks about is that so many of us, white people, our first impulse is to try and find a logical explanation. Oh, these people have been suffering, and that's why they were attracted to Trump. But the truth is, Hillary had an agenda that included, you know, plans to help these people mm-hmm. and their economic situation, mm-hmm. they were attracted to the racist message that Trump was putting out before them. And so we need to stop making excuses for that and look at the real issue, which is poisoning our political system to the point where we put ourselves in danger, even in terms of climate. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, which is huge.
Yeah, yeah. So the link's on our Facebook page, and or you can look up the white president. Ta-Nehisi is Ta-Nehisi Coates, Coates. I hope I spelled that right. And yeah, everybody, it takes a while. Karen said, "Whoa, it's like a dissertation."
I can read several paragraphs several times.
Yeah.
But I like what he said about Bernie, too, and Hillary. And it, yeah, really made sense. He kind of peeled back these little layers.
Yeah.
That nice. Did have answers, but people weren't listening to those answers. They were listening to the incitement of the anger.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't let Hillary off the hook entirely, and she does have a legacy that she's brought forward from Bill's presidency. And there were some things that, you know, related to welfare, in particular, that I think that people of color still, you know, kind of, even though they called Bill the first black president, he made some decisions that really impacted people of color in a negative way. And, you know, Hillary was still paying the price for that a little bit. But I think that she did have some ideas that were far more progressive than some of the things that were Bill's policies. But we won't, you know. We can't guess how she would have governed. And the important thing is that we all need to look at this legacy and how everyone's been implicit.
I think you're right. I mean,
I should say.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's hard for me to even hear, because I feel like, you know, I live in grew up in the Rust Belt, and I hear that. And I know so many non-racist people.
Right.
Who did that vote for jobs, who believed the coal line, who believed
some
of that stuff. So it is like I have such an internal struggle of, is it this underlying level of racism that we just don't realize we have or that is there?
I think it's there. Yeah. I mean, if you ask, read the article and then we'll talk more and tell me what you think.
I mean, definitely there's a lot of racism out there. I just don't know if it's that entire group.
Well, I
think people, you know, bought into the promise who were desperate. And then I think underneath that, people bought into the promise because of these structures that are in place.
Yeah.
And nobody had been talking to them the way that he does. I can't say his name, but you know.
45. I like the 45 reference.
Right. But if you tap into someone's anger with a racist message and they cheer and say, hooray. Isn't that racist? Aren't you being racist? Like, if you and I went to a rally and someone was saying to us, I'm going to give you a job.
You signed up for the club. If you're doing that and you're cheering, this is kind of before all the cheering of, it was so insidious the way he did it. Instead of saying, like, now it's so obviously racist, he's in there so he doesn't have to filter himself. But back then it was, instead of farming out our work to China, I will bring the work here. We should be making our stuff here.
Right.
So it wasn't on the same platform.
But he started as a birther. He started by saying Obama could not be our president because he was not born here.
There's no doubt in my mind that he's racist.
I'm Central saying Park
some
Five.
People who
I
voted
mean, we
for
know
him.
He had a history of being racist.
No, there's no question for me with 45 and the whole group he hangs out with up there.
Yeah.
That is not
this
questionable. I'm talking about more the naive, some people who are not as well educated, who are a little bit more naive, who are desperate, like she said, who aren't even getting like the latest news or being, you know, they're watching Fox, you know, they're not that tuned in. But also I'm kind of wondering, as you said about DeVos showing this girl her place in her house. And I just read somewhere where like the Democratic message to that group of people has always been kind of about not letting the rich get richer off the backs of middle class.
Right.
And in this article, what it was saying, it was like, those people actually aren't mad about that. That doesn't bother them as much at all. That's like our thing. That's our thing because we want equality for everyone, right? What they are hearing with that, they're not so mad at the rich people getting rich. Like, that's not what drives them to vote. And I'm wondering how much of that is they have been conditioned to think this is your place. So you need the rich guy there to trickle down and fill out these jobs. Mm-hmm. And now you're in your place where you were going to be. That's right. A safe place for you. Mm-hmm. You feel like you know at least where you're, because they're right now below that place of the voting point. Like right mm-hmm. before that, they've been out of work forever. They don't feel like Hillary or people were addressing him. Nobody was talking to them.
Right. But was part of the reason, I don't know. I still think that if you identify with a racist.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
There's racism there.
Like if that person's in your club, time to get out of the club.
Yeah.
You know, it's time to bolt.
And I do think that Hillary was addressing them, and I do think that Obama was addressing them, but they couldn't hear them because they didn't see themselves in that person. Because they couldn't believe that a person of color could be lifted so high as to have something to say that would help me. I don't need help from that person. I want help from Big Daddy White Man. You
know what I mean? And by the way, too, I think that's Bannon. The behind
Bannon.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
Agenda. And I think Trump is not that smart that this, you know, but I think Bannon saw this from the beginning and used it very wisely.
Yeah.
And you know, speaking of black women too, what Michelle took in the White House, you know, as being a woman of color, and the disrespect that she took.
Oh my goodness! Yes,
Melania. Oh. It is just again that whole racist. He didn't address that in the article, but she, as being the first lady, they were not. They would never accept her as their first lady.
Right.
You know, she is this highly. I mean, she could be president.
Yeah.
Right.
Qualified.
She's amazing.
Melania, who wears heels to go see a hurricane. I mean, there's no comparison, but she, you know, is supposedly the ultimate first lady in their eyes because she is, you know, the prize.
She's very pretty. Yeah, she's arm candy.
Yeah, it's all about that.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to discount anyone's suffering. I think there's a lot of people that are suffering economically in this country, but I also think that you don't lift yourself up by, you know, making other people suffer.
Totally.
It's like, that's like the fraternity mentality, you know? Yeah. And I didn't know that our government was a fraternity.
Yeah. It's also a limited consciousness mentality. Like, there's not enough for everyone, and I got to crawl over this guy to.
Right,
to
right. Get and that. There is enough for everyone.
And it's also such a sad state of your own, you know, belief in your own ability.
Right.
Like I must wipe out this layer because they can do the job better than I can, or what, you know?
Right.
Come on.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like, again, going back to our basketball hero and this idea that it's an insult. It's saying anything negative about your son because a girl is playing on or above his level.
Right.
I mean, are you...
You couldn't acknowledge her own...
Yeah. Are you that insecure
ability.
in your own parenting?
Right.
You know
what
I mean?
Right.
Yeah. Well, I have one more I think is a positive way to end the podcast this week, you guys. Again, Karen, this is something that happened in Canada. I have to find my notes here. But there was there's this video that's gone viral. And this is one that I will post again to the Facebook page. But there. Oh, and by the way, Ta-Nehisi Coates' article is in The Atlantic. So if you go to theatlantic.com. And just look for the first white president.
Got it.
Yeah. So there is this. I don't understand the whole Canadian political system, but and how you run for office there. But there is this gentleman who is a Sikh, and he is running for an office in Canada, and he was holding these fundraisers and events. And this woman jumped up at the start of a fundraiser and started pointing at him and saying, "You're Muslim, you're in the Muslim Brotherhood. You know, I can tell you're in bed with them." And it was crazy because, first of all, he's not Muslim. He wears a turban, but he's Sikh. So that's showing her ignorance right there. But the way that there were several people, you know, who were with him, who nobody touched her, but they tried to intervene and ask her to leave or can you calm down? Can you let us have her? And she wouldn't sit down. So finally, this gentleman whose name was, I want to say his name, Jagmeet Singh, he asked the group, he says, what do we say? What is our motto? And their motto is love and courage, love and courage.
In Canada?
No, just this gentleman and his campaign.
His motto. Okay.
Yeah, his motto is love and courage. So the group just starts chanting, love and courage, love and courage. And the woman gives up finally and leaves. And I just think that's such a great example of how to deal with people who...
I like it.
Are being irrational.
Wiping my tears.
Oh. But they're not afraid to speak out, too. I think so many Americans are just afraid to, like, say anything.
Well,
they're bystanders.
Yeah. Right. But the point is that I don't think you can argue with people who, you know, their beliefs are so wrong and so strong. And I know a lot of people who've said, especially, like, when it comes to choice, pro-choice, mm-hmm. and they want to walk up to someone... an anti at a pro-choice rally and try and have a conversation with them. I don't think you're going to change that person with that conversation. I mean, you're fighting against their church. You're fighting against Fox News, which they watch every day. You're probably fighting against their family influences. Mm-hmm. But what you can do is you can say, as a group, there's more of us and we have a positive message. Right. And this is what we're going to say. And I think as a group, we just have to stay positive and be louder because there are more of us. It's like you said, we're afraid to talk out. But if we talk as a group.
That's why I love that 600 letter thing, because that's one starts off one letter. But it's the power behind the many voices and that each voice does each action, each voice, each one thing does matter. And you would, dear Lord, like to hope that there's more people in the love and courage camp than in the hate and fear camp.
Yeah.
So if we don't all speak up, we can't count it. Count us.
Look, with everything.
That goes back to us being white women of a certain age. You know, we have this voice.
Oh, you froze, Karen.
There you go.
Wait, say it again.
Yeah, say it again.
I said we're not going to back down anymore.
That's right.
I'm tired of people telling me where I should stand and what I should believe and what I should do, and we're not backing down anymore. So I'm not going to
clean
knickknacks. I'm going to stand up.
Yes. And of a certain age, you mean like 30, 29,
35. 30. Oh, come on.
That age.
All right, peoples.
Refer to our hot flashes as a blast.
We're going to do something new here, which is... Jackie had mentioned that last week we had so many topics we brought up that it was hard to keep track. So she's been keeping track for us, and she's going to be our recapper.
Poorly.
Oh, I'm sure you did a great job.
I get so involved that I'm just going to recap what we talked about, because you're going to all go to the website. So KJ talked about, is it okay if I call you that? KJ?
Yes!
All right.
Yes!
She talked about Canada being the first country to include an option other than male or female, and she talked about a basketball game that did not make her happy because there's a lot of sexism going on. I talked about vouchers and my opinions on vouchers, and my funny was Vicente Fox, so check that out. And then...
he's so funny.
He is very funny. Andrea talked about how we have lowered our standards in so many areas and how the fuel companies have, you know, because they're large companies, their voice is heard more than the truth. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of misnomers. I love that word. So the good news for Andrea was that she was happy about 600 people speaking out against DACA. So that is awesome. Patty shared an...
Tech leaders. 600 tech
leaders.
Company leaders.
The smartest, like, the brightest.
Yes, that's exactly. That's a lot. Yeah. That's a lot.
And then Patty brought us home with a great article that kind of synthesizes everything we've been talking about from an author named...
Ta-Nehisi Coates.
And from the Atlantic magazine. And we're going to put that also on there. And it's called The White President. Yeah. And
I think it's the first white president.
Oh, the first white president. Okay. And what else? I told you. I got so excited.
Oh, and then the Canadian politician who got everyone to
love
cheer.
And
love and courage. Love
and
courage.
We're going to end on that chant.
Love and
love
courage.
Love and courage.
Love and courage.
All right. So until next time.
Yeah.
Check us out on Moms Talking
podcast. I'm sure nothing will happen in the next week. No! I don't know what we're going to talk about.
We will. Ugh, I don't know. I don't know.
MomsTalkingPodcast.com. Tell your mom friends. You don't have to be a mom to listen.
You can be a dad.
You could be a
You could be a non-mom.
A non-parent.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, please listen, and we'll talk to you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye.
I guess if we ever do a live broadcast, I'll have to be wearing pants.
But yeah.
Not really.
Mom's talking, just a couple of moms.